In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're going to continue on with humor. Humor in therapy, or humor to make yourself feel better. We're talking about humor, and this is part two. If you've not listened to part one, make sure you listen to the prior episode and get caught up. And as usual, we're giving away a bunch of free stuff. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, and we are back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Rock on!
We're here in the Podcast Detroit Southfield Studios.
Welcome back.
Sitting across the table from me is Matt Fox.
Hello, David.
Hello, Matt. How you been?
You know, it's been a week.
Yep.
I still don't have my own car back.
Oh, no.
Hey, you know what? Life is, it happens.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
You do have a rental.
I do have a rental.
Good.
And that's the thing with insurance. It might be costly, but that's why you have it. When you have it and don't need it,
mm-hmm.
but when you need it and don't have it.
That's bad.
Yeah.
My prior lease was an Explorer and it had a big engine issue.
Mm.
It just kept leaking oil. Twice I had to take it in. The second time I took it in to the dealership where I purchased it, they said, we're going to probably need this for 3 months.
Oh.
They said, we don't have any heavy engine repair mechanics
on
staff right now. So I had a rental for, I don't know, two and a half months.
Wow. That was like your own car.
But the problem, though, is because you're used to your own vehicle, and then you get in a rental, you're like, wait, where's this? How does this thing work?
I actually enjoy that part.
Do you?
Figuring new things out. Where's everything? You know, the buttons, the Bluetooth, how does all that connect? And I actually enjoy that piece. Just don't ever allow that Bluetooth system to access your phone data as far as your contacts. You always deny that.
Right.
When they say, hey, can we do, you say no. So letting you, just my two cents.
Yeah. I just picked up my new lease yesterday because I turned my vehicle in a couple months ago and I went from an Explorer to an Explorer, but it's an updated. I went from an 18 to a 21 and the whole layout has changed inside it's throwing me off big time.
It'll take you a hot second.
It's going to take me a while. And I even said, I'm like, oh man, they messed this up. My wife really likes it. She goes, no, this is nice compared to the last one. I'm like, I just don't like the change.
Yeah.
I had everything figured out. You know, you guys know how it is. Mm-hmm. We're creatures of habit.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So let me tell you folks where you can find me. My website is motorcityhypnotist.com. On the website, you'll find all kinds of cool stuff, including my book page, the podcast page, my shop, where you can buy things, if the things that you might like and things that could help you, including MP3 recordings. You can find me on social media, on Facebook and YouTube, both Motor City Hypnotist, and on Twitter and Instagram, which are both Motor City Hypno, HYPNO. And as usual, we're giving away a free hypnosis guide as we do every episode. Maybe this is your first time listening. You can grab that PDF totally free. Just click on the link in the show notes. You'll be taken right to a download page where you can grab that. And it just gives you information about hypnosis, kind of what it is, what it's not. It addresses some myths and misconceptions, you know, why it works. Really a good brief synopsis of what hypnosis is and how it works and why it works.
Mm, awesome.
So yeah, take a look there. This episode is brought to you by Empower Your Mind for Success, A Hypnotic Guide. That is my book, my new book that's been out for almost a month, I think. So it's recently published. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. This book is kind of does what it says it does. Yeah, it's Empowering Your Mind for Success, A Hypnotic Guide. And we talk about how to change thinking patterns to change your results. Because a lot of people... And Matt, you work in corporate America. You're in finance, and you probably work with a lot of different people.
Yes.
And they will I don't want to criticize because it's not specific, but you know, a lot of people, they just never, they never quite get it, or they never quite make it, and they're mm-hmm. always blaming others, and they're just kind of just not successful because either one, they don't know how to be, or they're just used to doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But that's what happens. People get into habits and they do the same thing over and over again, and they expect these different results.
Hey Dave, did you know what happens in corporate America?
Maybe.
Change is inevitable.
Yes.
Things will change every single day.
And if you absolutely.
If you don't have that mentality to understand and bend with that, and then be able to take constructive criticism mm-hmm. from a team lead and then grow from that, then you're kind of in the wrong line of work.
Right. Well, you're probably in the – any work would be the wrong work because you're right. It's change. I mean, think about – I mean, you're in finance, but I'm sure it happens there. Think about how jobs in the auto industry have changed in 30 years, or in finance.
Right.
We're not doing the same things we were 30
years
ago. Manufacturing,
healthcare, you know, restaurants even. It's all
I mean, even healthcare right now. I mean, we had to change. We are 100% telehealth right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't telehealth 2 years ago. We didn't do it at all.
Right.
That's a change we had to make to adapt.
Yeah.
So you're right. So the book really addresses how to change embedded thinking patterns that always lead you to the same place that you've always been. And if you want to be successful, if you want to move forward, you have to change the way you think, which will change results.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the idea of the book. And that's been kind of bouncing around in my head for a long time. But
you got it out.
It's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I need to get a book out because I wanted to. I wanted one. It was my own personal goal.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I felt like I can only see so many people in a week as far as clients go.
Right.
You know, 20, 30 people, I'm maxed out in a week. But with a book, I could reach thousands, millions of people, mm-hmm. possibly.
Possibly, absolutely.
So it's just a way for me to get out and get and reach more people, too.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, you can grab that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. If you buy the book, which I would greatly appreciate if you do, if you could please leave a review for it. A review is one of the most important things on Amazon anyway, that lets people know, and it puts it in front of more people. The way Amazon's algorithm works is that the more 5-star reviews that are there,
mm-hmm.
the more it will pop up on other people's suggestions when they're browsing Amazon or, you know.
Right, right.
And we go back to information, Matt, that, mm-hmm. you know, people know what you're looking at. That's the way the internet works. That's why you probably clicked one time on shoehorns, and all of a sudden you're getting ads for shoehorns for the next year.
Not only did that happen to me,
yes.
we were just talking about disc golf. And
yeah.
And all of a sudden I started getting these disc golf videos from, and I'm like, stop listening to me, internet.
Well, you know, that's a funny thing because do you have Alexas or Echoes or any of those voice
activated
devices?
Yeah, Alexa was buried in the basement, out inside. I was outside in the backyard.
Okay, so yeah, it couldn't have come through that.
No,
then. Yeah,
no. It just
but again, those.
It was the sky people.
Yes, it was. It was the aliens. They were listening.
It's all their fault.
Yep. So anyway, pick up the book, leave a review. I would be greatly appreciative of that. And, you know, buy it as gifts. Christmas is coming up. Mm-hmm. Give your friends and family a book.
It's very well written. You know,
thank you.
I got about 2 more chapters to go, but okay. I will tell you that the book reads like you talk.
Yes, perfect.
Yep.
And that's exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And for all you want to be authors out there or authors who have written books, you know that you want your voice to be heard. Mm-hmm. You want it to be your voice, your style.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great editor, Tamalinda, thank you, if you're listening. Tamalinda edited my book, and she was great because she didn't, a lot of editors will just rearrange everything, and it doesn't sound like you anymore.
Right.
And she was really good to say, hey, I know I get your voice in this, and that's mm-hmm. not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But she did change things as far as, you know, grammatical mistakes and spelling errors and specific things I put in that she said, this might not fly well with an audience. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
In the book, I talked about a coworker I had when I was in college. I was working food service when I was in college. And this guy, I'm not kidding, was late every single shift.
It was just 5 episodes ago you talked about this individual.
Oh, I might have.
Yeah.
And I don't, did I say what I said in the book when I originally, before
we'll
it was edited?
We'll keep going.
So I said, and he always had an excuse like, my you know, I got stuck in class, or my my car broke down, or
my,
I got
my cat died.
Abducted by aliens and it was anally probed.
Oh my God.
So I had that in my original manuscript, uh-huh. and Tam Linda said, let's take out the anally probe part. That might bother some people.
Well, that's what she's there for.
But again, that's my sense of humor, because I thought, yeah, that would be funny. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people might not take it as funny, and you're trying to appeal to a mass audience. So
fair enough.
So yeah, pick up the book, leave a review, bam.
All right,
it's time.
All right, here we go.
That's how winning is done.
All right. Our winner of the week. So I don't know if you, here in Detroit, there is a story on the news 3 nights ago, maybe 2 or 3 nights ago. I don't remember exactly. This is the way the story went. There's a senior center in Clinton Township for senior citizens.
Okay.
And the senior home, all of these senior citizens that live there worked on this garden together.
Okay.
It's an outside garden for the senior center. You know, it wasn't like a farmer's garden, like it had acres or anything, but you know, like a big, huge garden that all of these seniors worked on. So it produced thousands of pounds of food. So it's that big. Yes. So I'll just start the story. The garden at the Clinton Township Senior Center produces thousands of pounds of food for charities. So the seniors do it, and a lot of this food goes to charities. However, a thief in the night took all of that food, leaving volunteers to wonder what happened to their hard work. Somebody came in and harvested this whole garden in the middle of the night. Everything gone. I know. I thought, assholes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
I was actually going for a different adjective in that regard.
Well, whatever fits at that point.
Uh-huh.
So the master gardener, Dennis Belts, said he discovered the stolen vegetables while checking on the plants last week. I started looking around. There was no zucchini, no squash, no tomatoes on any plant green or red, he said.
You darn rabbits!
Grainy surveillance video showed flashlights and a bicycle at the garden during the night. There were a bunch of flashlights that came through. We were like, no way this happened at night, but it did, said Debbie Travis, the assistant director of the senior center.
Hmm.
The garden, which runs on donations, usually provides 1,500 pounds of food to people in need. We hope it went, and here's the great thing. Belts, who's the master gardener, that's the head of this garden,
mm-hmm.
he said, I hope it went to a good cause and helped whoever took it.
Wow.
So he was nowhere near as angry as I am.
Right.
Just reading the story. So that was the initial story, and I thought, what is wrong with people? I even said that to my wife. Mm-hmm. I was just disgusted. I'm like, what does it matter with people?
Mm-hmm.
Next night, the story, they come back with the story on the news. Next night, I think it was Fox 2.
And
you can find it there.
Were they talking to the guy outside?
Yeah. Yeah. That's no inside.
No, it's no inside. Go on, sorry.
Hey, there's a guy outside. And he said, yeah, the vegetables were gone. So go to the next night,
uh-huh.
or 2 nights, recent, mm-hmm. within a couple of days after this story hit,
okay.
they did a follow-up. Either the next day or the day after, there was thousands of pounds of vegetables collected for the senior center. Huh. Randazzo Market was the biggest one. They came with a semi-truck and just unloaded vegetables for them give to these charities.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of individual donations, like people were dropping off like a bag of tomatoes or, you know, a couple of zucchinis
mm-hmm.
just to give back to the senior center.
Right.
So the story starts out bad, but then our winners come in.
Okay.
All these people who stepped in to help give all this food back to the senior center. Who's going to give it to a charity anyway?
Right.
So the whole thing worked out well. And again, this is a good example of people being idiots and then other people just stepping up to the plate and saying, we're going to help.
But, you know, that's the thing. You know, if somebody does something silly and stupid mm-hmm. and mean and egregious, then other people have to step up and do the right thing. Why can't those original people just do the right thing to begin with?
Well, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to get off on a whole philosophical rant, but as a society, you know, there are going to be a percentage of people who won't do the right thing.
Ah.
It's like the old saying. It's, I don't know if it's how old it is, but you know, do you do the right thing when no one's around?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Right.
Do you bring the cart back to the cart corral when nobody's around?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. I do.
I do too.
Because yep. I don't want to hit my I don't want my car to get hit. But yeah.
I know. Yep. But a lot of people cannot answer that and say yes. So that's part of the problem. So anyway, to Randazzo Market, all of the personal, the individual volunteers, and to the Clinton Township Senior Center, who's already working for charity
mm-hmm.
as retirees and senior citizens,
mm-hmm.
which is great for them. Winners of the week for sure.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
That's how winning is done.
Yes, it is.
So, back to it.
And what do I have on my right hand, Matt?
But
a cheese sandwich. Sorry, folks. We're referencing last episode when we did a tribute, little tribute, mini tribute to Norm MacDonald.
Yes.
Because we're talking about humor. And he was one of my favorites, and we revisited one of Norm's famous bits. And if you didn't hear it, we listened to it, Matt and I together. And it was the first time Matt had heard it, which was fantastic mm-hmm. for me, just yeah. seeing his reaction to it.
Take 20
it
minutes.
Beautiful.
Take 12 minutes out of your
12
day.
12 minutes yeah. out of your day, you'll feel better. Mm-hmm. You'll just laugh.
Yep.
Yep. And again, just a heads up, it's a little bit of dark humor in there at times, yeah. but...
Norm MacDonald and yeah, dark humor, yeah, you don't know. Say.
But it is well worth it and hilarious. So we're talking about humor and how that plays into your own mental health and laughter in and of itself. And I'm going to repeat this. Matt and I laughed for 12 minutes straight last episode when we were recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said afterwards, there's no way for us to feel bad after laughing for 12 minutes. You right. just feel good. You know, you're releasing endorphins. Your body feels better. Emotionally, you feel better. Mentally, you're feeling good. So here's some facts about humor and in actually using humor in therapy.
Mm.
So researchers say that children laugh about 300 times a day.
I believe that.
Now, how many? So when we move from childhood into adulthood, how often do you think it goes from 300 times a day for kids? What do you think adults are?
I would say about 65 to 70.
15.
What?
Yep.
I'm a happy guy, apparently.
Yep. I am too, because I think I laugh more than 15 times a day.
Yeah.
But the research says children laugh about 300 times a day. Adults average 15 times a day.
That's okay.
And it just shows, and that's kind of I don't know. It's just like that losing your innocence in childhood and just enjoying everything and getting into that jaded adulthood mm-hmm. where things overwhelm you and stress and relationships and family and money and mm-hmm. all of and I know all of that comes in, but that's kind of sad. I think people need to laugh more. That's the and the other thing, and this is anecdotal, that research said that laughter is far more contagious than any other physical act.
Mm-hmm.
Cough, a sneeze, a yawn. You know, yawns are
very
contagious because when people see you yawn, mm-hmm. it just triggers a yawn in somebody else.
Yeah, fun. This afternoon, yeah. I was on my way out, I actually did yawn. I look over, my cat's yawning at the same time.
maybe you saw the cat and didn't see him, or he made you yawn.
I yawned and she yawned after me. So
great. That's awesome.
So here's the thing. You know, laughing as a child, as we get older, we don't find bodily functions as funny as we did as a child.
That's not true. I still... You know, I'm still a 12-year-old.
Are
you
really?
Know that.
Are
of
you
course
now?
I am.
Really? Well, come yeah. on.
It's quite pungent. Stings the nostrils.
Here's the thing. And you can ask my wife. My son and I, he's 19, so it's not like he's a kid, but we joke. We do a lot of inappropriate jokes back and forth. I don't want to get into it because, you know, I don't want to offend. It's nothing like a racial nature, nothing like
right,
that,
right.
But like sexual
or
just making jokes about farts things like that, that seem immature, mm-hmm. immature humor.
When I do that with my daughter, her response to me is like, oh, honey, no.
but, But my wife will be like, you guys, stop it. That's not appropriate in front of your mother, you know, things like that. Like, we're constantly quoting.
Sexy time.
Oh.
Borat.
Yeah.
We're constantly talking in Borat to each other.
Do you like the scuba?
Sexy time. So things like that. But adults, some adults can keep that. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I just like to laugh. I think things are funny. I always find something to laugh about, mm-hmm. even if it's juvenile or you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, it's funny.
It's got to be a part of your daily mantra. You got to laugh. Because that's going to keep you sane. It's going to, like you said, the endorphins are going to start to flow. Your body language is better when you're laughing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're more relaxed when you're laughing.
Think about when you're out with a bunch of friends and when everybody's laughing, how that just affects the whole feel of the night and the group.
Yep.
And,
yep.
I distinctly remember, and I don't know if I'm sure I've said it to my wife before, but I distinctly remember the first night we met, and the thing that I remember it as soon as I think about it was her laughing.
Mm.
Right off the bat, that's what stuck in my head.
Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me tell you what it can do for you. Let me tell you physically what happens. It provides instant relaxation and lowers blood pressure.
Mm.
It boosts your immune system. It improves brain functioning and protects the heart. When we laugh, natural killer cells, which destroy tumors and viruses, increase.
Really?
Along with gamma interferon, a disease-fighting protein. T cells, important for our immune system, and B cells, which make disease-fighting antibodies.
Okay. So why
are we... I know that's a lot of... medical gobbledygook.
No, but why are we laughing more?
That's what I'm getting to.
The medical benefits itself.
Laughter increases oxygen in the blood, which also encourages healing.
Okay. So it's like Bill and Ted with the air guitar.
Yeah.
It cures
right.
air pollution.
Absolutely.
We should be doing that more.
Absolutely.
All right.
This is a quote from Mark Twain. I'm not like a big Mark Twain fan, but I found this that he said, when you laugh, your mind, body, and spirit change, which is pretty insightful. So we talked about the physical benefits. Now here's the mental health benefits. And this is what I focus on with my clients when we talk about doing something fun or laughing or watching a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
Reduces stress, depression, anxiety, and fear. Matt and I were an example. I just gave you the example, Matt and I. We laughed for 12 minutes straight last episode, and I didn't feel any kind of stress or anxiety or fear, or I just felt good.
We had a nice camaraderie going.
We did, absolutely. It elevates mood.
Mm-hmm.
It increases energy and helps you perform activities you might otherwise avoid.
Mm.
So, I mean, think about it. When you're laughing, your endorphins or your bodies, you're oxygenating your blood. You just feel like doing something.
Right.
Yeah.
I've
never seen anybody... Maybe I have, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody laugh and just be lying there like a log.
Right, because there's
think
body
about that.
Movement when you're
yeah.
laughing, right?
Can you imagine somebody laughing and just not moving like they're sleeping?
Ha, 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 ha.
They have a brain like a chicken.
Bok, bok, bok.
Yeah, it's crazy. It can be a safe way to introduce yourself to other people. A lot of people have social anxiety.
Yes.
Especially in crowds or when they meet new people. And think how much easier it is if everybody's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's specifics. Somebody would say, well, they're laughing at me. That's different.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, if everybody's laughing and that's kind of the feel of this of the group that you're in, it's just going to be much easier and can be a safe way to introduce yourself or to kind of engage yourself with that crowd.
Just be careful because those jokes that you're trying to open up with, they could bomb.
Well, yeah, and you got to be careful on what you're...
Uh-huh.
You do have to measure that sense of humor and see if it's going to fit with.
Correct.
Because, again, Norm MacDonald might offend some people.
Well, you think?
Yeah. Because It just depends on people's personality.
Right.
And you do have to gauge that. You're right, Max. You don't want to throw out a joke that
All of a sudden
might offend
like,
everybody who's there.
Right.
Right.
There's a lot of inclusive, you know, to be very inclusive, the diversity in corporate America, in the marketplace, you know, in our communities.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Humor makes people talk more. They make more eye contact. They touch each other more. And I'm talking about just in relationships.
Yes.
I mean, I distinctly remember, geez, way back when, before I was married, before I met my wife, even like, you guys have probably experienced this. You're out with people and you don't know a lot of them, but there's somebody that you're kind of interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, she's cute.
Of the opposite sex.
Yeah, the opposite. Or
the same
sex.
Yeah.
Could be, whatever. But somebody that you're like, oh, I'm interested in her. And then, you know, typically if you're out drinking, sometimes everybody starts having fun. Mm-hmm. And then you can just tell when they're responding to you with laughter and you're laughing together. And then the person like puts their hand on you and is laughing.
Right.
It's like, bam, you know, instantly there's this connection there with two people.
Right. Or you had a piece of toilet paper hanging on the back of your shoe.
That could be.
That's why they're laughing at you.
Or they're laughing at you because you stepped in something and, you know. You know,
how are you going to wipe a table with this little? It's not even wet.
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah, it's crazy. So again, marriage and relationships can tremendously benefit from humor. When I'm doing couples counseling or marriage counseling, I will often say to them, like, how often do you guys like do something and just laugh together?
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's watching a movie or, you know, I don't know, just doing silly things, you know. Go play putt-putt golf and just have fun and laugh and just have a good time. And you'd be surprised how many people say, oh, we don't do that.
Right.
It's crazy.
One of the easiest things to get me laughing, Dave?
Yeah.
Baby videos. Babies giggling.
Babies laughing.
Babies laughing will get me rolling all the time.
Yep. The one thing, and I know people have seen a lot of these. One of the things that I just love watching are like outtakes from like comedy shows when people are trying not to break.
Will and Grace outtakes. Oh, there's some of the
like
best.
Like The Office.
Oh God,
because a lot of that is improvised, and them trying not to break is just that just kills me. There, it is so funny.
Fair enough.
And there's how many seasons of Seinfeld when they're trying to get through things.
The Friends outtakes are just oh gosh, yeah.
Now here's a good one. When people laugh together, they feel bonded. And when you feel bonded, that becomes a connection for you as far as support and help and somebody that you can count on.
Yeah, camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
Yeah.
And connection. And here's the big one as far as your own self-esteem and your own confidence. A healthy sense of humor is related to being able to laugh at yourself, and it's a way of accepting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that if somebody's totally just berating you and making fun of you, not like that, but to be self-deprecating and laugh at yourself and just be able to just have fun. Because most things, it's kind of like somebody would say, oh, you got a big nose. And then you can just laugh at it. Like, yeah, it is. You know, it's funny.
That reminds me of a movie, actually, called Roxanne. Steve Martin,
yes.
That self-deprecating 20 jokes that he told of himself with his nose.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
Hey there, who mows your nose hairs?
That's it.
Your name wouldn't have to be Dick, would it? You know, just the self-deprecation that he brought along with those. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic.
No, I haven't seen that. That's a callback. Yeah. I haven't seen that one in a long time.
If you ever
time.
Get a chance, if you haven't seen it, Roxanne, Steve Martin, and I can't remember her name. She was in Splash.
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah,
yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So here's the benefits of actually using this in therapy. Like if you're with a therapist, and you can even ask if you're seeing someone or you want to see someone, say that, hey, you know, can we focus on like just laughing sometimes or just making, you know, making myself feel good? Because again, it doesn't always have to be pressure. Let's get serious. Let's dig in. It doesn't always constantly have to be that. So in therapy, it's going to enhance the therapeutic alliance and increases trust between therapists and clients. It helps clients feel good about themselves. It helps clients gain perspective. It can help the client's thought processes by helping them get unstuck. It helps people cope with difficult situations such as death and loss and illness. I distinctly remember when my dad was in hospice, and I think we all went out to dinner because we had to take a break, mm-hmm. and I think we laughed for an hour and a half straight, stories.
It's
just
so important.
Yeah, and it just helped everyone. This one I'm kind of on the fence with.
Okay.
But one of these studies said that humor can be used diagnostically. So there's a professor, his last name is Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E. He said, people show their characters in nothing more clearly than in what they think is laughable. I know that's kind of a convoluted sentence.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is people show their character in what they believe is funny.
That's why you have to be careful with who you're telling jokes to, and just got to be aware of your surroundings.
Yep. And again, laughter is cathartic. You're letting out. Now, if you've ever seen somebody who is, they're overwhelmed with emotion and they're laughing and laughing, and all of a sudden it's crying. Mm-hmm. It just flips that switch, but it's because you're just releasing that emotion.
Right.
So it's a catharsis.
And they're crying because they're laughing so hard.
Or that laughter led them to being able to let out to the crying,
okay.
the sadness part that was in there, or vice versa.
Or crying
to the point of laughing.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a catharsis. It's just letting emotion out, mm-hmm. which, of course, we want people to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we talked about things that you need to be careful of.
Mm-hmm.
Concerns, anything that is hurtful, demeaning, sexist, racist.
Right.
That, you know what I'm talking about. Now, mm-hmm. we can laugh about... those things are not funny, and I think this goes back to the character issue. Like,
correct.
If somebody's laughing about things like that, then you have to gauge where they're at. The other thing is being self-deprecating in an unhealthy way. Somebody who's really not confident in themselves or down on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Being self-deprecating can be good because you can laugh, but in a way, you don't want it to be beating yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just not laughing at others. Mm-hmm. That is one of the big things.
Laugh with people.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. So those are some benefits of actually humor and therapy and mental health benefits of laughter. And I guarantee you, if you're laughing, there's no way to feel bad. There's no way to feel negative. There's no way that you're going to be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're laughing, even if it's for 20 seconds, that 20 seconds is... all of that other stuff disappears.
Correct.
So think about that. Think if you can take that and now expand it. And I'm not saying you're going to be laughing 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that you increase the amount each day that you laugh by 50%. That's 50% more time that you're going to feel better.
It's only 15 more times a day.
Right. Yeah. On average with the adults,
yeah.
that it's you know, if we're on average 15 times a day, do it 30 times a day.
Right.
Just and then double
as,
it.
And as time goes on, take that next step. Double that.
And the real big thing is that just look for the things that make you laugh. And it's different for everyone. Just if something you enjoy. I've told clients, I said, well, I've asked them, what makes you laugh? And they'll tell me like, this show. And I'm like, you know, I want you to go home tonight and just watch 2 hours of that show.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to laugh for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Just go do it. And almost every time they'll be like, man, I felt so much better mm-hmm. the next morning or that night.
Baby's laughing's my Achilles heel.
There you go.
So
yep. So yeah, make sure that you're just increase your laughter. Find something that's funny. Have fun. I this sounds cliche and it sounds trite. Life is too short to be miserable all the time. And I granted we have things that we should work on and things that we want to improve with ourselves, mm-hmm. but laughter can be a part of that. That can help you get to where you want to be.
Game on.
So just laugh. Laugh more.
I'm game for that.
Absolutely. I'm trying to see if I have any good...
oh, boy. What are you looking for?
I don't know.
All right.
I was just trying to find something about laughing, but I don't think we have that.
Oh, well, hey, we're the laugh tracks on here, so we're good.
Yeah, well, that's true. We are.
Oh!
There it is.
Great Odin's Raven.
Watch Anchorman. You can't not laugh during Anchorman.
Correct.
Right.
You are correct, sir.
You are correct. All right, folks. Laugh more. Have fun.
Yes.
Change your thinking. Change your life. Laugh hard. Run fast. Be kind. We'll see you next time.